sound man, that means turn your microphone on, silly man. Right, thank you. Thank you very much, everyone who's signed the card on the half, this half of the side. I mentioned to those who were in earlier that Rini, our oldest church member, her sister, but her twin sister has just died, and we wanted to send a card to know she's not forgotten. She's at home most of the time, all the time, and she's shining there, and just to encourage her. So this card will be outside at the end of the service. It'll be on the left-hand side table. If you can sign this, that'll be lovely before you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you welcome us into your presence and into your family. Thank you that all of us here, whether we live here or far away, can all be in this moment together in you. We thank you for each person that's gathered here today. That we pray, Lord, that we might meet you and know you and be sent out rejoicing. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of notices. At the back of the sanctuary, there's a notice board, and on there I've put a list for readers for the church to read the Bible. We're blessed to have different people reading the Bible each week. If you'd like to take a turn in reading the Bible, we haven't put dates down. Just want to know those people who would like to do it. If you'd like to do a Bible reading, please put your name on the list, and then those leading the services know who they can ask who'd like to do it. It's we all have different gifts, and Dennis is reading the Bible for us today, one of his gifts, and we just want to have many gifts working as possible. So if you think, yes, I'd like to do a Bible reading in a service, then do please write on the bit of paper that's near Debbie. Debbie, would you like to come up? Today's theme we're going to be coming on to later on, we're thinking about the secret place and prayer. And Debbie's been very good in sorting out a lot of books that have been here for some time, and there's some new books. And we're going to put out a selection each Sunday, as we've tried to do before, on the theme of the service. So there's a grab-and-go table in the vestibule. You can't spend lots of time there because we can't all be too close in one place. So as you go by, have a look, have a pray. That's the one. Take it and go. Okay? So do take them, make the most of them. I've asked Debbie up because Debbie started her work officially on the 1st of September after our prayer meeting on the Tuesday. And you've got a notice to give about the meeting on Monday. If you could stand at the lectern, Mike, that'd be lovely.
Yes, so good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. Tomorrow morning, 9:30 for coffee and 10 o'clock start, we're going to hold our first project meeting and prayer meeting to think about the garden, the Psalm 23 garden. And we would love anybody who just wants to know a little bit more about it, or feels that they would love to be part of the creation group, or that maybe that they'd like to do some of the maintenance at the later stage, where we invite members of the community in, to just come along and start that process. We're going to have some prayer and meditate on Psalm 23 a little bit, and then we will go and prayer walk the garden and look at it together, and then come back and just sit with it and see what comes up. All right? So
thank
I hope
you, Debbie.
To see some of you. And if there are people who are interested but can't come tomorrow, please just let me or Stephen know at some point, so that I can actually make sure that you know about future meetings and that I can talk to you one-to-one. Thank you.
Who's going to school tomorrow? Oh, Angela is. Charlie is. And Lexi is. Holly, you're going to school? Connie?
Tuesday.
That's for Connie. Tuesday, year one. When are you going, Alice? Oh, right. Excellent. Tuesday. So Monday for you guys. Excellent. Are you looking forward to going to school? Oh, isn't this an honest church? Don't you love it when people are honest? Excellent answer. Oh, I'm sure when we look back to school, it was times. Well, that brings us to prayer again. All those who've come back to me and said, yes, we'd like either my name, if I ask them individually, or else their parents. Yes, we'd like our children to be on this list. We've got a list here, a prayer sheet of the children going to primary school, and on the back, or the other side, we've got those who are going to secondary school, and we've got those who are at college, or like Hannah Ricketts, taking a year out, thinking about what she's going to do in the future. If you'd like to pray for our children as they go back to school, our young people as they go back to college later this month, do take one of these sheets. They'll be on the table at the back as you go out. If we run out, great, just let me know and I'll print some more off. But it'd be really good to pray, you know, by name for the people. Welcome, Ahmed. Good to see you. Excellent. And so, yeah, it's great. We're about prayer today, so let's put it into practice. Do take these, and I hope we run out. It would be good if you'd like to grab the Bibles that are underneath your chairs, so we can start our service with a part of a psalm, and you can join in and read it if you'd like to. It's Psalm 105, and it's page 607. As we enter our time of worship, we've got a very much a sense of a party feel this morning, so feel free to either grab the banners, clap your hands, dance if you'd like to. It's a celebration. There's always bad stuff happening, we know that, and we can bring that to God, but we can also bring him our thanks and our praise and our joy. So we've got a sense of a party feel to our worship this morning, and so we'll read this together, and then we'll go into songs of worship. Feel free to sit or to stand. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always.
Let us celebrate the goodness and your sin. worship. So you look at that cross and worship and adjust it in your holy name. Thank you, Jesus, we are free from you.
Amen.
Plainly tell us, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. We thank you, Lord, that we nurture this project and with the indwelling Holy Spirit it will grow. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, you are indeed an awesome God, an omnipotent God, a creator God, God of all things. And yet, Lord, you are not distant from any one of us, because you bend your ear to hear our prayers and accept our praises, Lord. Thank you, Lord, so much for loving us. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, this morning we think of our dear sister, William, just up the road, mourning the loss of her sister. But Lord, you know her, you know the witness that she is in her home. And I pray for her today in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's be seated. At the beginning of this new season, there are lots of new things happening, and each Sunday we're going to be celebrating and launching and praying for different ministries that are either restarting or starting up afresh. Now we're going to do that for a ministry that is restarting, and David and Rowena, if you'd like to come up and share with us.
So we're going to be talking about Messy Church, which is starting very soon. And we're very excited. Messy Church is a once-a-month time when families come together to enjoy being together for friendship, fun, food, and a focus on Jesus. Its aim is to build a community where we can provide a first step to getting to know Jesus together. It's called Messy Church because life is messy. You don't have to wait until you've got it all sorted before you come. God meets you where you are in the chaos.
So during lockdown, we sent out Messy Church craft packs to regular attendees, and we had our first COVID-safe event in June when six families came. We're planning to restart once a month, all else being equal, on September the 18th. That's a week next Saturday. It's at 9:30 next door in the Crosslink Hall. And we've already sent out a number of letters inviting families to book in, but there's still room for more families to book in. So as well as booking in beforehand, we ask families to observe social distancing, wash hands regularly, and for adults to wear face coverings when moving around and when singing. So we're seeking to be safe.
When we meet together, we have breakfast, a time of craft based on the morning's theme, and that can be messy too, and a short service including a story, songs, and prayers.
And I expect you're thinking, well, how can I help? Well, there's a number of things you could do. Firstly, by praying. We as a church, everything we do is based in prayer. And please do pray, either privately, or you're very welcome to come down to the church sanctuary down here at the time of the Messy Church. And we have a prayer team led by Jean Watson and Sheila Osborne, who prayed for us last time, and we're hopefully they're going to be praying each time as we meet. Secondly, inviting any families you know. Haven't already signed up, that's fine, let us know soon. Please ask us, we've got some invitation letters with further details. And if you'd like to come, you'll need to be DBS checked. That's a safety check following the church's safeguarding policy, and please talk to one of us. Perhaps you could phone us or text us or email us or whatever. We want to say a big thank you to the wonderful team who helped run Messy Church, both in the past and in the future. Thank you very much indeed. God bless you.
Great. We'll take the opportunity to pray for you now. Could I ask the people who are going to be helping in the new team for Messy Church to stand where you are? So you've got Angela and Jeannie, Leslie, Andrew, David, Josie, and Joy. And there's also, as we know, the prayer team we just heard about. But if we'd be good just to pray, stretch out a hand to someone that you can see who's standing, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for David and Josie and the whole team, those who are standing, those who have helped in the past and built the foundation that we're now building upon. We thank you for those who are praying. We thank you for all the families who've come, all the blessings that have flowed. And we look for more. We do believe, Lord, that you've pruned the branches, you've pruned the good fruit, and to make us even more fruitful. And so we pray that you would do a wonderful work through Messy Church to your glory. Amen. Thank you, guys. Right, we've now got a couple other people who have got to come forward. Mike and Dee, if you'd like to come forward and join me. You can come and stand on the first step. You're right, Dee, you haven't got the sticks this week. Excellent. That's good. You're going to need that. You need to face the congregation, I'm afraid. But there you go. I'm sure you'll cope with that. It'd be lovely. So, Mike and Dee. Oh, yes, sorry. I'll do that. Usual thing. There we are. The light's on. When it comes to speaking, you have to get really close to it, which means you're going to have to really get close to your husband. Is that all right? Excellent. So, Mike and Dee have come to us praying, which church do you want us in? Lord, they've been serving in Torquay at St. Matthias alongside the work they were doing there. They've come now to say, where do you want us, Lord? And crazily, God has decided that they're coming here. And even more crazily, they've decided to say yes to God and to come. So This is an opportunity now for you to run if you need to, but you're full of encouragement here, and we're just so pleased. And I'll say exactly what I said last time when we welcomed Debbie into membership. You don't have to fit in to our church. You do not have to fit into our... Like a deer, I'm not sort of trying to find a room in this church. Today marks the day on which we become a new church. Paynton Baptist Church now has Mike and Dee in it. And therefore, we are a new church. And the same applies to anybody else. If anybody here, you think, yes, I need to become a member of this church, the same will be the case. We will no longer be the church that was. We will be a new church. So, in the name of our loving God, it is our joy to welcome Mike and Dee Moore into membership of this church. They are committed to serving God in our church family and in the community of Paynton. Today we acknowledge and thank God for their commitment. Now we have a declaration of faith. They're saying, yes, we want to enter into a new covenant, a relationship. And that's what this is today. That's why this is quite formal. Because it's a covenant, it's a relationship. These guys are saying, yes, we want to be in a relationship with you. And we say in return, yes, we want that as well. So I've got some questions. As members hold the values of the church and are responsible for truth in the church. So these are important questions. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
We do. This is the God in whom we trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life, and witness of this local congregation?
We do. And we thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
We will. All we have is given by God.
As members of a Baptist church, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together, we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness, and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to build one another up in love. Will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
We will. Thanks be to God.
That's your part. Now it's your part. Could we have the covenant promises, please, for us to make? So I've got questions for you. I'm just about to see them. The first response is we do. This is our joy and calling. The second is we will. Thanks be to God. And the third one is we will in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus Christ. Do you welcome Dee and Mike into the fellowship of this worshiping community?
We do.
This is our joy and our calling. God has given us the gift of this brother and sister, and through them has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support each of them in Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray for them both and encourage them through hospitality, friendship, and prayer?
We will. In the name of Jesus Christ.
So let's pray. And if you'd like to speak out a prayer, please do. If God gives you a word, bring it now for Mike and Dee.
Lord, we thank you so much for bringing Mike and Dee into our presence, into our membership, Lord. We believe that this is no accident, but this is your will.
Thank you.
And part of the journey of faith that we're all on, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you've guided us to this fellowship. Bless you and thank you, Lord. And just pray, Lord, that you'll use us to love one another and to serve this community that we're in. And thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon us and about on this fellowship. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Loving God, we believe you've guided Mike and Dee to this church, and we rejoice in the covenant promises we've made together. We pray they may grow in grace, strengthen their faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon Dee and Mike. Strengthen them for service and make them more like Jesus. Through your grace, empower us all that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bless you. You may applause. Yes, come on. Wait a minute. Hold on just a moment. Is there anything other than your prayer that you want to say to the congregation just before we finish?
Just like to say thank you for welcoming us here. It's been lovely. We've just walked through the door and we knew this is where we needed to be. But it was your smiles and hellos that made the difference. And I just thank you for that. You're a lovely congregation. Thank you.
Much the same, really. I'll stop.
It's nice to give the lady the last word, isn't it? Oh, you're a humble man, Mike. Learn from that. Husbands, learn from this. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. I just love all the animals we have at the front here. I don't know if you've noticed, but the church family is growing every week, and it's just great. It's brilliant. We are exploring together Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in which he teaches about the kingdom of God. He started with who can be in it. Everyone who puts their faith in him. He told us that everyone in the kingdom would be blessed. And that we're blessed to be a blessing. We become salt and light. Just as we think about Rini being light in her home, shining out. So we are called to be salt and light. And he then goes straight into some really hard stuff. To say, this is how you can be salt and light. By not expressing anger, contempt, condemnation. By truly loving husbands and wives from the heart. By truly loving our adversaries, our enemies from the heart. By forgiving one another from the heart. Today we're exploring something else that Jesus teaches us about the kingdom. Dennis, if you could bring our reading. And I want you, particularly children, because you're going to be thinking about this in a moment. There's something you're going to hear three times. Three times. So listen out for it.
Our reading this morning is from the book of Matthew. It's chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Followed by verses 16 to 18 of the same chapter. And they can be found on page 970. Page 970. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, Do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And now going on to verse 16 at the bottom of the page. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you.
Thank you, Dennis. Did you hear it? What was it that he said three times? Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Will reward you. Jesus often said things once and then twice. I don't know if he often said things three times. Maybe ask Peter, do you love me, three times? A few other things. It'd be interesting to do that, wouldn't it, to go through the Bible. How many times did Jesus say three things the same? Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Who has a secret place? And I'm looking at the children. Who has a secret place? I know there's one of the films, Holiday, isn't it? There's the two little girls. They're gorgeous girls. Their mum has died. And they let the people of the story go to their secret place. And it's a tent in their bedroom. It's the most wonderful scene. A real ooh-ah moment in that film, if you know the one I mean. Secret places can be very special. Think of some of the stories that you know, what you were brought up with. Who remembers Enid Blyton's The Faraway Tree? This tree, and you went in, and it was a whole world. And there was the secret garden, which has come back again, hasn't it? And there was the one that really got me was Tom's Midnight Garden. He crept downstairs, and at midnight, on the stroke of midnight, it sort of held for an hour, didn't it, the clock. And you could go out at that moment, and a garden was only accessible at that moment. There was a TV show, this is showing my age now, which I'm very happy about. Here Come the Double Deckers. Who remember? You've got to be a certain age, you see, you've got to be around 60-ish. I'm not looking too, well, yes, I'm not looking too, but yeah, you see, Stephen, Andrew, here come the double deck, and Sue, yes, there was a secret place, which was a double-decker bus, and the only way you could get into it was by hitting, do you remember, a plank on the fence, and you went in the one spot, and that opened, and you got into the double-decker. So, there are secret places, and David, could you put up the PowerPoint for me, please? The secret place. I want you to look at this one. Where is this secret place? Leslie knows. Liz knows. Anybody else know? It's not far away from here. Liz, tell us where it is.
It's Dartington.
It's Dartington. Excellent. You're obviously a family that likes secret places. Can we do the next slide? There's a wonderful tree on the way out of Dartington Estate heading for Totnes. And if you can see, there's a doorway into the tree. Connie, can you see the doorway? Do you know what it says on that sign? Have you looked? Well, next time you go, there's a name of the cottage. I'm not going to tell you, because you can tell me when you found it. There's a name of the cottage. Secret places, special places. Jesus is saying to us that God sees everything, and he sees what is done in secret. And he rewards good things that are done in secret. From the very beginning, God knitted us together in our mother's womb. He saw us in secret. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depth of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. These girls, front and back, and Paul and Tay at the back there, they grow. Have you noticed? If you haven't seen children for a while, they grow. And they grow in secret places. It's the bones inside are growing and stretching. And they particularly grow overnight. And they grow when you go on holiday. If you've grown for a while, you haven't seen them. Children grow in the secret place. And much of the activity of the kingdom of God is done in secret, hidden from the world. The growth of our faith, our understanding of his love, his word, our transformation by his Holy Spirit, it's all done in a hidden way. But this is not a law. It doesn't have to be secret. But there are things that are done in secret. So children, this is today's task. And I reckon you're up for it, okay? What I'd like you to do is to draw a secret place. Now, if you haven't got one of your own, feel free to draw the slide. We'll leave the slide up during the message. It'll stay there now. If you want to draw that one, you can do. But you might have your own secret place. Now, we're not going to show these pictures to anybody else. Otherwise, it wouldn't be secret anymore, would it? So this is just for you. You may know your special place, your secret place, the place where you go to sometime to think, to be with God, perhaps to have a bit of a upset, a cry, or just a very special place. I asked children once at an assembly how they met God, how they related to God. Was it outside in the wonderful world? Was it perhaps looking at a cross? And there was a cross at the front of the school hall while I was doing the assembly. I said, is it looking to the cross? And there was one girl in front who was like Connie here, right in the front, and she put her arm up like that. And she was only in year one. And I said, you're trying to give me an answer? She said, yes. I said, how do you find God? She said, just think. Her secret place with God was in her heart, in her thoughts. Now that day, when I asked that question, she didn't know, but the staff knew that her mum was dying. And she died that night. Very young. And I, at the funeral wake, I spoke to Neve and I said, do you remember what happened on that day? I asked you where you find God. If you want to find God, where do you go? What do you do? Do you remember what your answer was? Just think. And I thought, oh. That lady, we prayed for her and she'd had long enough, 2 years, to pass that gift on to her child. So as you're doing secret places, Holly, Lexi, Paul, Taya, Connie, Alice, your secret place could be your heart. It can be a physical place, but it's in that secret place. So, don't show me, show Mum or the person who brought you if you want to. But do a secret place where you can be you and have those conversations. So Jesus is not saying you have to do everything in secret. But he gives us three examples where the choice is please God or please people. And I'm going to do these very briefly today, but hopefully they'll give you something to think about. In the days that Jesus was teaching, wealthy Jews would show off how religious they were by giving money to the needy. But not quietly or humbly, but with trumpets blowing loudly in the streets. Oh, we're going to give money. Just like the Queen gives out Maundy money, but every day. Jesus uses a word, hypocrite, that apparently nobody else uses in the New Testament to describe such people. 17 times, hypocrite. And it's a word that means actor. These people were putting on an act of being generous. They weren't actually pleasing God. They were doing it to getting the applause, like an actor does. We can still see it now. People do to get the applause. Look at me, look at me. The kingdom approach is different. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, how does that work? If you think about it, when you are driving, those who drive, your right hand doesn't think about the left hand changing gear. And the left hand doesn't think about the right hand putting the windscreen wipers on and off. They just happen automatically. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. They just don't need to think about it. And I think that's what God is saying. Your giving just needs to be automatic. It comes out of the heart of having met God so generous. Our meal today is about God giving his son. Jesus giving his body and his blood. So how can we hold anything back? So it is automatic. And it's really good. I know people who are full of the Holy Spirit by their giving. Not in front loudly, but you just see in the hidden way, you just see those hidden acts that are done very quietly and humbly. You know when people are full of the Holy Spirit and doing the work of the kingdom. Because they just give. They're the people who serve when no one's watching. And more than that, this is the really amazing bit. God rewards us for what's done in secret. It should be just enough to serve him, shouldn't it? But he says, I want to reward you. You're my children. You're not servants or slaves. You serve, but you're children. I want to bless you. We love blessing our children. I'm sure we look for every opportunity. Lydia likes to bless Alice, and Liz likes to bless Connie, Tiki making chocolate cake. We know what our children love, and we bless them. God wants to bless us, that we bless others in our giving. Now, praying is next. That's his second example. I think it's really interesting that Jesus doesn't start with prayer. He starts with money. He knows us very well. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. If you say to someone sometimes, yeah, I'm all out for God or whatever, well, will you give some money to... Ooh, I have to think about that. Our praying, just the same as our giving, must not be an act. Jesus points out to the crowd, they would have seen in their towns, in their villages, in the synagogues, on the streets, religious hypocrites, actors putting on a public performance in prayer. They wanted to do it to get applauded for their wonderful, lengthy religious prayers. Jesus tells us not to be like them, not to use praying as a means to show off how religious we are. It's a warning to all of us who pray. Keep it simple. He wants us to go into our room and pray, unseen by other people, to our Father who is unseen. Where do you pray? When do you pray? Do you have a secret place to go to? Jesus is not introducing a new law. He wants us to pray with other people. That's what we're doing today in this building. He wants us to agree on earth things that will be agreed in heaven. But there are times when we need one-to-one with God, and he needs one-to-one with us. The creator of the universe, who made hippopotamuses and giraffes and every person that is on the planet, wants a one-to-one with Christine, Christina, Sheila, Jane, Holly, Lexi, Karen. Hi, Karen. We don't get one-to-ones very often because you can't come all the time. But he wants a one-to-one with you all the time. God is inviting you to be with him in the secret place. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't have a private room to go to. He had 12 disciples snoring and everything else next to him, and everybody else who was with him. So he got up early in the morning on a mountain to pray. Or the Mount of Olives. I noticed in our Bible reading this morning, he went to the Mount of Olives as usual. It's interesting. I hadn't seen that before. It was his practice. Got to find somewhere for a one-to-one with the Father. As the children are doing their drawings, their secret places, this is the most important bit. You know, where will they have one-to-one with God? As parents, as carers, grandparents, how can we help our children have one-to-one with God? And he's going to reward us again. Our reward is on earth and in heaven. Our reward on earth is to see God, to know him, to receive his love, and to see him achieving things, working things out, making a difference. We want to see the world change. We want to see children come to faith, older people come to faith. We want to see captives set free, the blind recover their sight, and in Jesus' name it will happen, and that's a reward for praying. But also there's a reward in heaven, a spiritual mystery to be contemplated and thought about. Someone wrote a book, I meant to bring it today, I'll bring it next week, that our praying on earth, our intercessions, praying with authority in Jesus' name, here and now, our preparation for ruling and reigning in heaven. We have authority in heaven now through prayer, but one day we'll have authority in heaven. We're actually stood there, and we will govern in Jesus' name. And our preparation for governing with authority is praying with authority now. That's something to think about. Lastly, fasting. The most popular subject. Who likes food? Yes! Who likes fasting? No. Right. Fasting primarily is not having food. Sometimes water for a short period of time, but primarily not having food. It always goes with prayer, or at least it should do. The hypocrites, the actors that Jesus referred to, are once again doing it for the approval of others. They act miserable. Could you give me a miserable face, please? Miserable face. Some of you are not very good. You've got much too many smiles on your faces. These people were really good. Actors put face paint on, don't they? These people disfigured their faces. I don't know what they did to them, but they made themselves look miserable. Somehow, they made themselves, obviously the gurning championships, they made themselves look miserable. Why? So that other people would know they're fasting, and they've been fasting for a long time. That's the only reward they're going to get, Jesus says. He wants us to fast and pray, because there are breakthroughs for the kingdom of God that need fasting and praying. But it must be done in secret. There are some times when we declare a fast as a church, or we ask people to fast for a particular purpose, like we did for the meeting when we were considering Debbie's appointment. And we ask for a fast. But generally, fasting is something you do between you and God on your own. He sees what is done. Breakthroughs against unseen enemies by praying and fasting to an unseen God. And our reward is to see his kingdom come. We might end up a bit slimmer for a week, but it's his reward is in heavenly terms. Whatever we give up in this life is more than made up with the reward of joy in seeing a breakthrough on earth today and being honored in heaven. at the wedding feast of the Lamb. This is just a preparation for the biggest party there will ever be, as when we're in the marriage feast of the Lamb. So, your choice, my choice. Are we going to try and impress people by our religion, or be a delight to our Father in heaven? Are we going to go for the approval and applause of people, or the Father's well done? Are we seeking worldly rewards or the coming of his kingdom? Do we want to be a delight to our Father, doing what pleases him, seeking and praying for his kingdom? If so, there's a discipline of secrecy for which we need his Holy Spirit's power. And we're going to pray. Children, as I say, don't show me your pictures, but if you want to show them to somebody, feel free, but you don't have to show them, because these are about secret places. And if you've got a secret place at the moment, that's great. If you haven't, remember your heart, what's inside. You can speak to God in that secret place. You can pray anywhere, anytime. You've always got a secret place with you, as well as those special places that you could actually sit in or lie down in. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you that it is you, Father, that see what is done in secret. And it is you, Father, who rewards us for what we do in secret to please you. You are a loving Father who loves to bless your children. And Father, I pray now you bless all children here, all of us, with intimacy, with closeness, with friendship, with love in the secret place. Help us not to get so distracted, so busy, that we don't enter the secret place for our one-to-one time with you. Help us to seek your kingdom through giving, praying, and fasting, that your kingdom may come here on earth as is in heaven. Amen. If you still want to carry on doing them, children, as we prepare for communion, that's fine. We'll just put them down when we come to communion. This is no longer a secret place. The Holy of Holies was a place where one person once a year went to meet with God in the temple. We could talk about it another time. But the Holy of Holies, that secret place, was blown open by Jesus on the cross. And we're going to sing a song in a moment called Within the Veil. We can now go through the veil that used to be in front of the Holy of Holies, and we can be with God. And putting into practice what we've just been hearing, we can spend some time now, just in the short while, with this song. And it says in Hebrews this: therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let's right now enter into God's presence. have a moment of silence. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. This is a special place, a place of mystery, where we eat a meal to celebrate Jesus dying for us. It's a strange thing. We don't usually have a meal to celebrate a death in this way. But this is special. This meal is open to everybody to share in it who wants to thank Jesus for what he's done for us on the cross by dying for us. If it's not where you are at the moment, that if you think, I'm still finding out about Jesus, I'm not sure if I know him yet or I believe in him yet, that's absolutely fine. And when the bread and the grape juice comes around, the wine comes around, just let it pass by. But if you think, yes, I want to say thank you to Jesus, then enter into this meal. The Apostle Paul tells us of how Jesus started this meal, the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Later on in the meal, in just the same way, he took a cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And Paul tells us, whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. At this point in our service, we will take the opportunity to give thanks. And Andrew is going to lead us in our thanks today.
Lord Jesus, as we gather round the table, we come not of any goodness of our own, because we are all sinners. Yet, Jesus, we look to you. You left the glories of heaven to come to earth because you loved us so much that you were willing to die for each one of us. Your body broken on the cross, your blood shed, that we could know the forgiveness of our sins. Lord Jesus, as we gather today, all we can say is thank you for that love you have for us. Thank you seems so inadequate for all that you have done for us. And yet this morning, Jesus, we come with hearts that just are so thankful for all you've done for us. Amen.
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 So the bread and the wine will come round. Do eat the bread as you receive it. Hold on to your cups and we'll drink together to remind us that we are one in Christ. This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me. Take and eat.
Thank you.
sealed by my blood.
Whenever you drink it, you drink it in memory of me. We started with worship, giving God the glory. And the wonderful thing is that we don't meet here as people in fear under the law, but we don't come to a mountain, as it's described in Hebrews, of a fear and smoke. We come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You come to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. That's us. You come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks better word than the blood of Abel. We come together to worship, and we're going to be singing, glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. We are in heavenly places. This is the kingdom of God. And we can enjoy worshipping him in the present reality of where we already are because of this new covenant, because of the grace. Let's stand, if we're able, to sing, glorious things of thee are spoken. Remember to take those prayer sheets with you and to sign the card. Now may the God of peace, who through blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.